This week, we will be talking with an Amazonian nerd geek with no athletic background, making her way into the world of Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu at the age of 30. None other than blog enthusiast, Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu extraordinaire, and an overall genuinely nice person who can put you to sleep at will. We are talking about the author of Tangled Triangle, Megan. Megan, if you want to say hi to the Jiu-Jitsu fans around the world.
Hi guys, how you doing?
Fantastic. Now, you've been blogging for quite some time now. Personally, I enjoy reading The Adventures of Megan. Your blogs are incredibly well-written and well-documented. Tangled Triangle gives an insight into the world of a 30-year-old female trying to make it in the male-dominated sport that is Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu. If you want to tell us a little bit about how you got started in the sport?
Yeah, it was somewhat of a fluke. I've always wanted to train in a martial art, but I never really found the time. I was dancing salsa, and I was going to grad school and working full-time. And I did not actually start looking at it seriously until I graduated immediately the week after I went out looking for a school. I had a bunch of different ones, and I happened to find this one around the corner that offered women's self-defense classes. One day I go by, everybody looks really nice. I checked out on the website, all the instructors are smiling. I figured, hey, you guys look friendly, I'll go. Went in for actually Muay Thai classes. And I asked them if I could train Muay Thai, and they're like, no, you can't. So we make all our students start with Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu first. And it just so happens that one of the ladies who trained there was there, too. I talked to her. She said, oh, guys, great. I went in for one intro class, and I really haven't even thought about Muay Thai really since I started. So that was pretty much it. And I ended up at American Top. Had no idea before I started. I never even watched an MMA match. So I didn't know what American Top Team was. I didn't know what Brazilian Top Team was. I didn't know who Marco D'Amato was. Nothing. Had no idea. Total fluke. So, but I really like it. It's very cool.
Wow. So you actually went in as like a clean slate, having no predetermined notion of any of the teams around and any of the mixed martial arts academies or Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu academies for that matter. What was popular at the time, which is popular now?
Yeah, nothing at all. I mean, I have to be one of the few students that went in. I didn't know what an armbar looked like, triangle, nothing. I had no idea. I had never taken any, karate classes or no kung fu as a class, nothing. So yeah, it was a very clean slate.
So you actually went in looking to train in Muay Thai?
Yes. Yeah, I talked to some friends that trained like Aikido and a couple other arts, and another friend that was a boxer, and just talked to them about self-defense, and they're like, check out Muay Thai, see what it's like, and that's what I went there for, because they do have some instructors to teach Muay Thai. So, I just saw it on the website, and went and asked that.
Wow. That's actually a really cool story, considering that you had no notion of what jiu-jitsu was, and you walked in and you started training jiu-jitsu, not having the intention of training jiu-jitsu, and that's actually a really good story, because that kind of opens your eyes to something new other than what you had already known, which was Muay Thai. How long have you been training in Brazilian jiu-jitsu?
It's been 18 months now.
So about a year and a half?
About a year and a half, yeah. Sometimes I don't count the first couple of months, because it was just getting over the sheer terror of going to the gym. But, 18 months at first, when it last opened, November 2009.
Wow. Well, they do say that a black belt starts somewhere.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Yeah. That's the goal, eventually, one day, so.
Yeah, when I remember my first time walking into the academy, I was nervous. And before walking in, I was sweating. I didn't know what to expect.
Yep.
My predetermined notion, I used to see mixed martial arts, things like that, and I would think of these guys as killers and like, oh my God, I'm going to walk in. They're just going to, try to kill me. But as a matter of fact, it's actually opposite of that. A lot of these fighters and a lot of these jiu-jitsu players are actually some of the nicest people you can ever meet. And if you didn't know that they trained and they were able to put you to sleep, you would never even think of them being able to have those abilities.
Easily. I remember, I actually, met very briefly, saying hi to Jason Calvin a couple of times. Had no idea who he was until I saw him on TV, flashed on the screen, on the internet one day. I'm like, oh my gosh, but the pro fighters are the nicest people I have ever, seriously, ever met in my life.
I agree completely. And recently you've had an injury of your foot. Did this happen as a result of jiu-jitsu?
It did. And I went into the sport, my eyes were not closed. One thing I'm very thankful for to the blog and sphere, the BJJ blog world for, is that it gives you a very good overview of what would happen, what could happen, because if I had not known before, from reading other people's blogs, how likely it is that you will get injured. I might have quit after hurting my foot. But it happened, I believe it was a butterfly fleet. I just have a bad habit, which I have learned not to do anymore, of in guard sitting with my feet splayed out instead of turned in, and I got slipped over my foot and ended up with two stress fractures in two of the toes and just some torn up ligaments in the big toe. So I've been off training fully about 3 months now. I'm going nuts.
Wow, I can only imagine. Now, you say you've had a couple of stress fractures. That's fractures of your bone, and did they look at the ligaments around your foot by any chance?
I mean, I had the X-ray done, I had the MRI done, and there's not really much they can do about it since it is healing on its own, but it's just one of those things that, and I didn't really realize how much you use your foot in the sport, but I, like, half my passes, I can't, I can barely get out of full guard now. Thankfully, my doctor actually told me, because he does have experience training some MMA fighters and grapplers, that I could go in, I could work a lot from the bottom. I haven't been completely off training. It's just that I'm very limited in the techniques I can work on.
Right. Well, I can completely relate with having an injury. I think the best medicine or the best advice that I can probably give you would be to, if you rest, as long as your doctor advises you to rest, that might be a good idea. I myself have had a few meniscus tears, and my doctor told me to rest is probably the best medicine, just because it gives your body enough time to heal. That way you can come back, train the way you'd like to. And I'm sure when you go into the academy, when something hurts, it's kind of like, I'm a little nervous, I don't know if I should.
Exactly.
Yeah, if you rest it and you're able to go back and train the way you'd like, then a lot of the mental anguish of not being able to roll the way you'd like would surely be gone away. Now, as a female, Megan, what's it like training with the guys in your academy? Do they feel like they have to go easy on you?
My story is going to be a little bit different than most women. One, because of the American Top Team that I train at, we have women from black belt on now. So most of the guys are used to training with women at some other level. I have had a couple of guys where I was the first female they trained with, and one actually told me he didn't know what to do. He was also, I think, a white belt at the time, and he was just like, look, I've never sparred with a girl before. I don't know what to do. But it is different, and it's awkward on both ends, and you can tell, but it's one of those challenges that fades as time passes. When you first walk in, you're very aware that you're in the minority, because even though there are women in the pool frequently, I am the only female in the class, but after, the guys get used to you, after you get used to them, you do eventually just become another grappler. The big issue that I think a lot of women face for a long period of time has been going too easy on them. Personally, I'm 6 feet tall, I'm 210 pounds. Most of the guys don't really have a problem, going too light on me because, I'm very frequently, I outweigh them. My second or third month there, I had one guy come up and tell me, like, look, you're stronger than a bunch of the guys here. So I don't deal with that, but I know it's something that a lot of women do deal with between either guys going way too hard and just absolutely obliterating them, and guys going so easy that no one in the situation is learning, which, either way, neither party is benefiting, so it doesn't work out. It's really about finding that happy medium.
So you would say that it's a lot easier for you to roll with your typical female grappler who might be 5'3" and maybe 120 pounds versus a male, or is it more like easier to roll with a male than it is with a female, given your situation?
For me, I generally don't break it down by gender. I break it down by size. Small people are hard for me to roll with. When I first started, of course, they paired me with the ladies a lot more. One of my first partners she was an Olympic wrestler, but she was 5 feet tall, 100 pounds. She wiped the floor with me, but still, I was very scared, training, neon belly, just doing drills. I wouldn't put my full weight on her. I wasn't doing things properly. But it's the same thing when I'm training with a guy that's that size. I can throw him around. For me, I am most comfortable with somebody who's within, 20 pounds of my weight and generally, maybe 4 to 5 inches of my height, which is not going to be most women. But, there's smaller guys, too. There's some very small guys in training jiu-jitsu. So I try to look at it more from an individual size and strength point of view as opposed to gender.
Fantastic. That there's actually a lot of world champion grapplers who are around your size, I would say. Yeah. Have you ever heard of Gabby Garcia from Alliance?
I started watching her like crazy when I first started, just because of her size, because she's, 6'3", 6'4"? She might be down to my but I know I've heard she's around 250, so I really like getting to watch her and seeing a larger woman in the sport.
Right, and if you know, if you followed her career, she's actually been very dominant in the IBJJF competitions. It's almost that there's no one out there who can actually get to her level, being that she's so right. big and strong.
And yeah, she's very technical, too, so she has not just, you know, most women, they always see women have very good technique. She has the technique, and she has the strength and the weight, and it's a lot to be able to pull from. You know, just, you know, have your bag of tricks, but she's got a lot to work with. But I think eventually, you know, once more women get into the sport, you'll get more women that are on the larger end of the spectrum.
Right. That way we could see some more diverse grapplers in IBJJF competitions. Right. Have you competed at all?
I have not. It's something that I do think I will do eventually, but it is one of those things that when I first started training, I didn't even know competition was an option for one. It's not something that would help fulfill the goals or the reasons that I started training, which was for personal development, it was for personal challenge, and it was for, you know, just physical activity, because I believe in leading a well-rounded lifestyle, and my mind, my life's been very mental up until I started, you know, training jiu-jitsu. So I think eventually I will, but it's going to be probably after I'm about a blue belt, which might be, you know, next year sometime.
Great. The only thing that we can say is that if we can stay as injury-free as possible, then we'd be able to advance our rank. I have seen some guys go from white belt to black belt in a matter of like 6 years, which is like unheard of. But a lot of that has to do with a lot of competing.
Right.
And that gives the...
Which for me, I think competition, I'm really not worried about the belt. I know it's one of those cliches that people throw out there, but I really do just want to learn the art. That's really why I'm in it. If there were only two belts, if there were only white and black, I would still be doing it. And I don't think the belt would make too much of a difference for me, decision-wise, regarding competing. Competing for me is going to come at a time when I actually want to test my skills in a more realistic, you know, a more realistic environment. You know, if I see a white belt for the rest of my life, I'm fine. I really am. I just want to learn, which is good. It's been good even, you know, through injury, because I can still learn. I can still, you know, study things that I'm weak at.
So tell us a little bit about the American Top Team that you train at.
Yeah, I train at American Top Team with Palm Beach, which is run by Marcos Pumba Damana, and he is the Shin Jiu-Jitsu coach down at the Coconut Creek location. He has a school up in West Palm, and they actually just merged with Palm Beach Boxing. It is, I know MMA, and this is all stuff I learned after I started training. I didn't know that schools, that there were schools that did just BJJ and some that did BJJ and MMA. My school is, you know, of course, it does both, but there's a lot of heavy focus on the gi. I've almost exclusively trained gi. No gi doesn't quite draw me the way gi does. It's a great school. I think it's probably a medium-sized school as far as, you know, school sizes go. It's a lot of great people, a good range of sizes and gender and ages. And, you know, there's kids' classes. Some of the older kids train with the adults. We have students from, you know, in the teens all the way up, I would say, probably into their 60s. So very good mix of people, gender-wise, age-wise, race, economic background. Really good people, too.
It's definitely one of those things that our sport is bridging the gap between the social statuses. Yeah, I've trained with guys who have nothing else to do other than to train, and I've trained with lawyers and doctors. My last podcast was actually with a doctor that I used to train with. But yeah, it's one of the greatest things in the world where you can rub shoulders with world-class grapplers and with everyday people.
It is. That was the funniest thing for me. Well, one, coming from such an academic background, business background, you know, you get into, when you work like a 9-to-5, you get to your little pockets of people and you don't really get out to meet different people who do different things. But coming here, like you said, you're meeting not only other people from different walks of life, but to meet people who do this professionally. Like they really, this is their life, this is what they train to do, and they're exceptionally good at it. It's pretty amazing just to meet those kinds of people, because most people, you're not going to meet a professional athlete. Where else are you going to run into someone who leading that life?
Now, the very first time you saw your instructor on television, did that bring a smile to your face?
It did. I just actually saw him a couple weeks ago again when I forget which USD it was, with the Chibao pick fighting. It did, because, you know, he's a guy you see, you know, 3-4 times a week, but then to see him working at his, not his mission, than, you know, fixing my guard issues. It's just, you know, good to see that scope of someone else's existence. It makes you proud, too. It's like, wow, you know, this guy is helping me on a daily basis, too.
Yeah, I remember that first time that I saw my coach on the TV. I kind of smiled and was like, I can't believe he's actually letting me, you know, mount him and try and choke him when, you know, and when he's kicking the crap out of these people on TV and the UFC.
Right.
So
the thing that gets me about that is that I don't think most people who are functioning at basically the most elite level that you can get to are going to be able to then come and help people, which, I mean, right now I'm 31. Culpa knows that I'm not going to be some kind of professional fighter, but they still take time to treat you seriously as a student.
And I think a lot of that has to do with the camaraderie that we don't really see this type of behavior with boxing. You know how boxing, there's a lot of animosity between the fighters. As a matter of fact, in mixed martial arts, after they're done kicking the crap out of each other, they're actually hugging at the end of the match. And people would tell me, what is that about? Why are they doing that? And when people who aren't, they're not aware or don't understand the sport. And it's kind of like the old cliche, you don't really know someone until you fight them.
Yeah, it's so true, because you can't hide when you're in that situation.
So, Megan, how did you get into blogging?
I started a little bit before on just some other random interests that I had, which were cooking and languages. I like studying languages, so I've been keeping a couple of these off and on. But with jiu-jitsu, I had so many people in my life, when I told them what I was doing, they were just baffled. And there were people who were, you know, in other parts of the world, so I wanted to keep them up on what I was doing. Also, it was one of those things where I knew that I want to look back and see who I was at the time that I started, or, you know, previously in my journey through the sport. So I started just writing stuff down, writing impressions and thoughts, and it's actually become a very valuable tool for me, because writing, when you're writing about anything, it's a good way to, you know, clear your head, but it also cements anything you've been going through, anything you've been thinking through. My blog is not highly technical. It's not like, say, Slidey Foots, which is very technical. I do have some technique, but it's mostly very high level, and it's very personal, very emotional. Any kind of technique that I do keep, I keep in an offline journal, because I have people like my brother and my cousin, you know, those same people who I was calling and freaking out in the bathroom. You know, they had the ones that had to talk me into getting on the mat. They, you know, if they don't want to hear about the issues I'm having with my fighter guard. My blog is much more of a personal reflection than it is technical.
Well, personally, I enjoy reading your blogs. I know you recently had one about a diet that you recently, yeah. I actually kind of smirked at that one, and the only reason why is because I can relate to that.
Yeah. Well, that's the crazy thing, and one of my best friend actually comments, and she said the big thing that she has gotten from reading my blog is that she did not realize how much of just life outside of the gym training BJJ will change. It's changed everything from, of course, you know, the way I eat, it's changed beauty regimen, which, you know, it's been for women. I mean, the way the product, I've had to switch up all the products that I use on, like, my hair, just, like, random clothing. It's changed everything. I try to make sure to include, especially, and focus on things outside of jiu-jitsu that have changed because of jiu-jitsu.
Tell me if, you know, you've been a jiu-jitsu player long enough when you start to shrimp in your sleep. Tell me, do you shrimp in your sleep?
Yeah. My legs are in too, to run. Roll over and turn the alarm off. Yeah, I totally do. I remember I actually did an injury on that the first time it happened, when I started hip escaping to roll over.
Isn't that funny? It's like you train it for so long and it becomes like second nature. Like your muscle memory just kicks in when you're trying to like move over, roll over. You're actually shrimp escaping.
Oh yeah, it's the most efficient way to do it.
Yeah, that's why they teach it, efficiency.
Exactly.
So what can we see about Megan's travels and Megan's journey into the world of Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu in her blog?
What can you see?
I mean, like, in the future. What does the future hold for Tangled Triangle?
One thing I really wanted to talk about, I wanted to focus on kind of switching up, because blogs can get stale after you've been doing it for a while. I mean, I've been doing it for 18 months now, and it's getting, you know, it's not stale so much, but from a writing perspective, you'd like to keep things interesting and fresh. I don't think there are a lot of people training the sport that are in my position, in that you've never done anything physical. I am, whatever the textbook definition of a nerd is, that's me. I'm, you know, very cerebral, very, everything I've done has been very science, math, literature oriented. Never played sports as a child. I had asthma issues, all kinds of grass allergies. The challenges of someone in my position going into the world of the extremely physical and extremely complex, I believe, are very different than someone who, say, played college sports or even high school sports. Because there's so many things that you just don't know, that you just don't realize. Like, for instance, when I hurt my foot, I think most people, if you played a sport, you would know immediately, go to a sports medicine doctor. I went to a podiatrist, and I probably wasted a couple doctor visits and a couple co-pays on that. The sheer physicality, when I first started, probably about a month in, after class, I went deaf once, completely deaf. Had no idea what was going on, but it's probably because my body was simply not used to that level of physical exertion. And it's hard physically, it's hard mentally, especially if you're used to being good at things, which I am. And it was very hard to be the slow kid in class, and I will probably for a very long time be the slow kid in class. But that's something I very much want to document as far as my personal challenges, see if I can find other people who are in the same position, because there don't seem to be very many that I know of.
Well,
I
was just going to say, I can see a very long blogging future for you, because, like I said, I really enjoyed reading your blogs. I think I've read all of your entries now. Yeah, I've gone back and I've started reading and It's interesting to read your story, because, you know, when I see your background and your academic background, to me, I never would have guessed. If I saw you on the street, I never would have guessed that you're a Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu player.
And people who know me, unless they know, there are a couple of people understand, because they know I've always liked martial arts, that I've always been interested in it, but seeing me on the street or like my coworkers, they have absolutely no idea at all.
Wow, that's awesome. Yeah. Well, I think that's what the common denominator in advancing in our sport is, probably just, you know, being safe and trying to stay on the mat as much as we can. Even though sometimes our injuries tell us not to, our bodies tell us not to, we try to get on the mat anyway and
do what you can to keep going.
Right. So, Megan, is there anything else that you'd like to add to our interview? I mean, if there's anyone that you'd like to give a shout out to and say, you know, thanks for, you know, putting up with me.
I honestly have to give a huge thanks to everybody, American Top Team, but there's a few people specifically. I'm not going to name any names, because I don't know who wants to name out, but just everything. It means such a lot of the guys who started with me and some of the higher belts that were very patient and very helpful with me and always happy. They made such a huge difference. They made it so much easier for me to step back into that gym every, you know, three times a week, because it's something that's incredibly difficult. And they didn't know where I was coming from. They didn't know how scared I was, but they were still extremely welcoming. And I would just encourage anyone to see somebody new, whether if they're having difficulty and they're dying on the mat, to just, you know, be open and patient, because you don't know what kind of difference you're making in somebody's training experience.
I completely agree. Okay, and that'll conclude our interview. I'd like to thank my guest this week, Megan Williams of the BJJ blog, Tangled Triangle. You can visit her blog at bjujitsu.blogspot.com, or if you're like me, you like to use Google for just about everything, and Google Tangled Triangle. The results should come up with hers at the very top. Also, don't forget to visit our sponsors for continued support of jujitsusweep.com, and also don't forget to check out our recent interviews with Tomas Sanye of the Dominican Republic. Some great interviews on there. And until next time, Jiu-Jitsu fans, we'll talk to you soon. Fight hard, finish strong.